Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, APAS is concerned about farmers taking the blame for the provincial deficit. We'll hear from APAS Vice President Ian Boxall, and his comments have prompted a response from Saskatchewan Finance Minister Donna Harpower. We will hear from her as well. And of course, after all of that is said and done, APAS President Todd Lewis has released a letter that was dated late this morning to the Minister of Finance. So plenty of war of words going on between APAS and the Saskatchewan government over the last 24 hours or so. The Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission wrapped up a series of coffee talk meetings with growers yesterday. We'll hear from Sask Wheat Agronomy Specialist Haley Tetro about how those meetings went. One of those meetings, of course, was in Grenfell. And it was a very dry fall over much of central and southwest Saskatchewan. Terry Lang is a meteorologist based in Saskatoon. She will tell us about that. All that and much more coming up on today's edition of GX in Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And it's brought to you by Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers bio meal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. The weather is also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's quite cloudy here in the Yorkton area right now. Could we see some flurries before the day is out?
Yeah, there is the potential for a few. I'm not thinking much, but certainly the potential for a couple of flurries basically between this afternoon and tonight. Maybe we pick up a centimeter or so. There's just not a lot. There are mild, though, so we're going to rule out some flurries in the air. And the wind is down today, so we've been watching some of these times where we get the light snow and it blows around. There's really not even much of that today. It's mostly just that what will fall is a little bit of nuisance-type flurry from the afternoon. It'll pick up a little bit in the early evening. Between sunset and 11 o'clock, it picks up just a bit. And again, it's minimal pickup. We're still talking less than 2 centimeters. So it's a minor thing, but the cloud cover is in place. It's going to remain locked in through the night, finally gradually clearing out a bit through the day tomorrow. We've reached our high for the day. We got there around midnight. We actually will log for the day a positive number, 1 degree. 1.1 was our temperature at midnight. We steadily fell for a few hours and took our little drop toward morning. That was anticipated drop as we settled into this slightly cooler weather pattern, but with that, the wind settled down. We had the strong wind for a while. Right as the temperature came down, the wind dropped off, and we have been slowly trying to climb back up. I think we get to around -2, -3 this afternoon. Not a very impressive climb from -6, but the cloud cover will do that. Again, not much wind, so wind chill not really a factor this afternoon. Tonight, the flurries, and the wind does pick up tonight. Most likely, it picks up after that increase in snow. Later nighttime, early morning tomorrow is when the strongest winds will occur. Temperature rising to -1 and falling to -9. It's all over the place. It's rising at the wrong time, falling at the wrong time these next couple of days. That will finally settle out into the weekend as we get into the beginnings of a cooler pattern. -8 is the high on Saturday. We'll get there, ready for this, in the afternoon when we should. Mainly clear sky, though. It starts us off in the morning, so some sunshine, and then the cloudiness rolls in through the day Saturday. Gentle breeze from the northeast. Sunday, mostly cloudy. Some flurries from Saturday night through Sunday. These are light. There's potential for a light accumulation, similar to what we're expecting today, a centimeter, maybe two from that through Sunday. Minus seven is the high Sunday. Sunday night, the temperature will drop off down through the minus 20s and get stuck there on Monday. We'll clear out. It'll be a bright, sunny day Monday with, good news, very little wind, but the temperature only minus 22.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour. The Paw is at minus 14 degrees, Swan River minus 10, Dauphin minus 8, Brandon and Roblin minus 5, Show Lake Russell minus 4. Regina is at 0, Saskatoon and Indian Head minus 1, Hudson Bay minus 9, Broadview Mooseman minus 2, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington minus 6. The Yorkton-Melville region has a cloudy sky, an east-southeast wind at 5 kilometers an hour. 83% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 4 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 7 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of plus 5 degrees and dropped to a low of minus 4 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is minus 8. The normal low is minus 18. The sun rose this morning at 8:33 this morning, and it will set at 4:46 this afternoon. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Carmen at plus 8 degrees. The cold spot to Dooley Lake at minus 32 degrees. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Maple Creek at plus 17 degrees. The cold spot was Collins Bay at minus 32 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. It's time to check in once again now with Danny Ismond.
Well, we're having an excellent day at Yorkton Hyundai, 115 Palliser Way. We're joined with Derek Napity. And Derek, you know what? You come on by the lot and you're going to notice some SUVs out here ready to go and calling possibly your name. Maybe that's that Hyundai Kona.
Yeah, the Hyundai Kona is a great option. Very popular right now. Just the perfect size if you're looking for something all-wheel drive, but a little bit more maneuverable like a car. Popular option indeed.
One of the ones that's really going to jump out at you, though, is the new addition. It's the new kid on the block, the Santa Cruz. This thing is awesome.
Yeah, you guys got to come on by and check this one out. We actually are lucky enough to have two on the lot right now, parked right in front of the road. Come check it out. It's got a box. It's like a truck, but it's got all the conveniences you would expect from a Hyundai. So
yeah, a lot of nice room inside. And then, again, you have the convenience of the box on the back. And, yeah, the towing capability, it's kind of got it all.
You got to see it with your own two eyes.
All right. So, yeah, the invitation is there for you to take that test drive today. And if you do have any questions at all, you can call 1-800-565-0002. Really encourage you to come and see it and take the test drive. See what that Santa Cruz is all about, what everyone's talking about. We're at 115 Palliser Way. It's the Boxing Month sales event at Yorkton.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan is concerned about farmers taking the blame for the provincial deficit. The province says the deficit of $2.7 billion was largely due to drought payments of $1.8 billion in crop insurance and $300 million in livestock support. APAS Vice President Ian Boxall says crop insurance had a surplus of $2.4 billion in 2020, and farmers should not be blamed for the deficit.
I guess our concern is, and this is an education piece for people, is that, you know, the program, crop insurance, has shown a surplus that has gone into general revenue for the government. The program is actuarially sound. The money is there. Federal, provincial, and producers pay into this program. The money is there. And, you know, and we just want to ensure that the public understands that this money is not coming out of their pockets, that blaming producers for the deficit when there has been surpluses of crop insurance in good years, that the money is there within the crop insurance. This is an accounting practice that the government does, and we just want to ensure that people understand that this is not producers, that this money is not coming out of their pockets.
I've heard that over 20 years, the crop insurance program breaks even.
And I don't know the precise number either, but we do know that the program with, you know, it's funded by the federal government, the provincial government, and producer premiums that the program is actuarially sound. So the surplus has been there in years past, and the government paid the money out to the producers this year. And it's accounting practices on the government's part that on how they deal with it, right? So the surplus goes into general revenue, and when there's a payout, it has to come out. But in the same token, that money has been there.
How should the crop insurance surplus be used?
It's accounting practices. I think on years where there's a surplus, I don't think producers would ever have an issue that it goes to other services that the government needs to pay for that all of the people of Saskatchewan, use. I don't think we have an issue with that. But I also think that the message needs to be said that this money is not out of the public's pocket, and that this is funded and the money was there, and this is just an accounting practice. So it's an education piece that we're trying to ensure that people understand that we are not the reason for the deficit. This is an accounting practice that the government does, and that the money was there within crop insurance, and how they've structured that in their books, that's up to the government to explain.
Now, don't Ottawa and Saskatchewan have some kind of insurance policy to cover crop insurance losses?
You betcha. I think there's some reinsurance done, that there's some money in that fund as well that makes this whole program actuarially sound, that the money is there. So, I get that there is huge crop insurance payouts this year because of the widespread drought, but this is not, crop insurance payments are not coming out of the public's pocket. The crop insurance program is financially secure on how it's structured.
On another topic, the railways have shut down service again to the Port of Vancouver due to the threat of more flooding. What are your thoughts on that?
I think we're probably fortunate that maybe we had a smaller crop in Western Canada this year, so we won't see huge backlogs because it just is as much crop to ship. My fear is that countries that buy our products are going to look to us that we have some huge logistic issues within our transportation system, and maybe our transportation system is not reliable. I think these are issues that we need to have, big discussions about, and ensure that our product gets to port and gets to these people that buy it, so that their faith in our system lets them continue to buy from us.
And you're hoping the rail lines reopen soon?
You betcha. I think we all hope that it reopens quickly when a majority of our crop ships through one port, and you see that access to that port is down, it should be a concern.
Ian Boxall is a vice president of APAS. It's time now for the AgriView portion of our program, and that's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX94, AgriView.
Workers at Cargill's major beef slaughter and packing plant in High River, Alberta, will vote this week on a new offer which it's hoped will avert a strike or lockout, both due to start Monday. The new offer follows a marathon of negotiations Tuesday between Cargill representatives and the Bargaining Committee for the United Food and Commercial Workers, which represents the 2,000-plus employees at the plant near High River, south of Calgary. Plant workers are to vote on the agreement today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Cargill says the agreed-upon offer is comprehensive and fair and includes retroactive pay, signing bonuses, a 21% wage increase over the life of the contract, and improved health benefits. The union, in a separate statement yesterday, said the proposed deal also improves health benefits and significant contract provisions to facilitate a new culture of health, safety, dignity, and respect in the workplace. The signing bonus, COVID-19 bonus, and retroactive pay could amount to a total bonus of more than $6,000 for many members just 3 weeks before Christmas. Canadian National Railway says it's aiming to reopen its track in the crucial Kamloops to Vancouver corridor in flood-hit British Columbia this weekend. The province is trying to rebuild after devastating floods in November and received more rain over the weekend and this week. CN operates one of the two critical rail lines in BC that were forced to shut down due to flooding and mudslides caused by heavy rains. CN, which restarted limited service in the region last week, has now diverted some traffic from the corridor to the port of Prince Rupert, while moving some of its trains on other available rail lines in the region. Canadian Pacific Railway, the other main rail line operator, was also able to resume operations last week. Mindful of the summer drought conditions that seriously cut into crop production across the prairies, average trade estimates call for downward revisions to Statistics Canada's already small forecasts for most crops when it releases its first survey-based estimates of the marketing year tomorrow. While prior reports in September and August were compiled using satellite imagery, the December report will be the first of the year to use farmer surveys. While StatsCan has made greater use of satellite imagery and model-based estimates in recent years, the technology is still relatively new, and the likelihood of discrepancies between the two styles of report could lead to some surprises in the estimates, according to market watchers. On a crop-by-crop basis, most market participants expect canola production to be revised down from the 12.8 million metric tons forecast in September, with estimates ranging from 11.5 to 13 million metric tons. That would compare with the 19.5 million tons grown in 2020-21. Estimates for total wheat production, including durum, are forecast at 19.3 million to 22 million metric tons. That would compare with the 35.2 million grown the previous year. There very likely won't be any resurgence in canola that would see old crop futures exceed $1,000 per metric ton in the near future, according to analyst Errol Anderson of ProMarket Communications in Calgary. In recent days, canola has been taking a series of hard hits, which have pulled the January and March contracts under $1,000. Anderson says the declines in canola and other edible oils are due to the pullbacks in global crude oil prices. Crude has fallen largely because of fear of the new Omicron variant of COVID-19 stifling demand. That said, he pointed to the current prices for canola and other grains as still being very good. For any about-face for canola to be sustained, Anderson says fresh bullish news is required. And that's the AgriView portion of our program. Let's head back out now once again to Danny Ismond.
Well, we're at Yorkton Hyundai today and having ourselves the...
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's cloudy and minus 4 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at 1 o'clock. Saskatchewan's Ministers of Agriculture and Finance have written a letter to APAS saying the accusation of the government blaming farmers for the deficit is wrong and offensive. Finance Minister Donna Harpower explains her concerns.
Well, twofold. I'm very disappointed that APAS put out a public statement insinuating that somehow the crop insurance fund has been mismanaged, which it couldn't be farther from the truth. It is very well managed. And the second is that somehow that we're putting producers under the bus simply in the way that we portray the budget. And quite frankly, we're bound by public sector accounting rules. And the crop insurance payout is a cost. It has to be considered in our budget portrayal. So that was disappointing. It was disappointing that they wouldn't reach out by phone either to myself or the agriculture minister to get clarification before they put out a public statement that, quite frankly, would concern producers if they think that the crop insurance program is being mismanaged.
So it's simply the way the budget is set up?
You bet. And I don't think anyone in the province is unaware of the fact that we, the agriculture producers this year, faced a very serious deep drought. I don't think that's a secret. I don't think that anybody is blaming the farmer for that. It's a drought, and it's quite frankly something that I have spoken to in a number of budgets that I've delivered now, saying, you know, my biggest fear is we're going to have another drought year, and here we are. And the reason why is because it does affect the budget in that we have to portray the crop insurance payout as an expense.
but the crop insurance program is actually sound?
Very much so. We didn't have to borrow for the crop insurance payout, and in fact, we still have $1.3 billion in the fund.
So where do you see this war of words going now?
Well, I just want to assure the producers of the province that the crop insurance fund is sound. It is well managed. We will be there for producers. We have shown that time and time again in going to the federal government and successfully being able to enhance that program. So it is definitely a better risk management tool than it has been in the past. We have kept it fully funded, and we have also, you know, we had an agriculture producer that went to the wall immediately for the producers, when for the livestock producers, and we had the additional $292.5 million available to them because of the drought, which did come out of the general revenue fund. So time and time again, this government has displayed their support for the agriculture industry and championed the agriculture industry.
And you're not laying blame for the province's deficit at the feet of farmers?
Absolutely not. You know, the farmers, and I've said it in past budgets, the farmers have carried the weight of our economy year over year, and they had an unfortunate year. We were there for them. I have to account for that, but I don't blame them for it. It's a drought. It's like me saying that the additional almost $100 million cost of the forest fires is because of the trees.
Donna Harpower is the Minister of Finance for the province of Saskatchewan. Late this morning, APAS President Todd Lewis released the following letter to the Minister of Finance. He says there is a lack of understanding around the accounting principles used for crop insurance, which is the issue at hand. APAS is not taking the position that the government does not support agriculture any more than the government is saying that farmers are the cause of the deficit. These are important discussions that need to occur so that there are no public misconceptions. Lewis says, quote, I stand to be corrected on the operational side of the finance ministry and the use of summary financial statements. However, having these discussions without being accused of being deceitful, ignorant, or misinformed would be appreciated. Unquote. He says the APAS news release was intended to point out farmers' position when it comes to one of the most important partnerships they have, which is crop insurance. He says APAS values its relationship with the government and the agriculture and finance ministries. He says we all have the best interests of agriculture in common. That was the intent of the press release and the comments around it. He says there was no intention to offend anybody. It's time now for the livestock market conditions and their presentation of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for February are trading at $139.60. That's up one full cent. April live cattle trading at $142.67, up 90 cents. January feeder cattle trading at $165.75, down 7. March feeder cattle trading at $168.12, up 22. February lean hogs trading at $82.35, up $2.22. April lean hogs trading at $86.60, up $1.52. And that's the livestock market conditions. It's time now for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton.
Hello, cattlemen. Junior for Heartland Livestock Yorkton with your market report for the week of December 1st. Well, folks, when we thought we'd be slowing down, the floodgates opened. We had 24.75 in our pre-sort, 400 head in the regular sale for a total of 28.75 this week. The crazy part of this is we've been having pre-sort since the third week of July. Well, this week, the market was trending steady.
Always read and follow grain marketing and stewardship requirements and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission wrapped up a series of coffee talk meetings with growers yesterday. The informal discussion centered on production topics following a very dry year in all parts of the province. There were sessions in Wilkie, Melfort, Grenfell, and Saskatoon. Sask Wheat Agronomy Specialist Haley Tetro says a common topic at all locations was residual nutrient levels.
Kind of expected them in a lot of areas to be really high, but it turns out they're a lot more variable than maybe we thought. So we didn't see as much mineralization, so that's kind of impacting it. And then that regrowth in the fall of weeds or crop really took up a lot of nutrients out of that soil. So that was kind of an overarching theme that we really seen. We also have a wheat watch to direct producers to take a look at that, and it kind of covers the impacts of the drought and different considerations, which covers the nutrient variability. So that's another point to the residual nutrients, was they were highly variable this year too. Depending on, you know, how much moisture there was in the field, those slough bottoms produced a lot better than, you know, the higher areas of the field. So that's going to create some big nutrient variabilities. And then as well as that regrowth that we just talked about, kind of uptaking some nutrients more so. So
will there be some new research coming from these topics pretty soon?
Yeah, so nutrient residuals, maybe not so much. We do have some resources available on that on our website, but more so is the nutrient removal rates. And so a lot of our numbers that we have currently are maybe a little bit older, and they're working to update those now. There's research being done on that. So we should see results from that fairly soon. I think they were impacted a little bit by the drought this year, but that should help us, you know, with better fertility recommendations to better match that plant need. So that's a really important piece of research that's coming out fairly soon.
Did you hear different concerns from different areas of the province?
Herbicide carryover obviously was a big concern in a lot of different areas, depending on the moisture that each area received. But that was a pretty common theme that we heard, just depending on crop rotations and how to manage that in different areas with the options that they have available. We, again, released some resources on that on our website, so people can check that out. Insects, of course, are very variable throughout all the different places. So we've seen, you know, some areas had significant grasshopper pressure, some had areas where it was just kind of in the perimeters and some not at all, or areas where, you know, there just wasn't the crop to spray. So that was an interesting one. Wheat midge seemed to be overall not a huge concern in the areas we went to. There was maybe high numbers, but not high damage that we're noticing in the samples. And then seed for next year, there was some concerns about quality, which we definitely didn't hear, which was a really great thing that we kind of noted was, you know, with that extreme heat we had, we can typically see damage to that seed germ and vigor, but we haven't seen that in anyone we've talked to. So that was a really good thing. But still, the availability of seed is a little bit limited because the drought was so widespread. I haven't heard of anyone not being able to find seed, but it is important to look early so that you're prepared and testing your seed too, to know if you actually need seed or what your quality is that you have on farm, to know if you need to seek new seed is really important to do as early as you can.
Was there much difference in the snow cover in the areas of the province you visited over the past week?
Significantly, yeah, that was one thing we really noticed. Milford had a significantly more amount of snow than, you know, Saskatoon, and driving down to Grenfell yesterday, we seen a rainstorm, which was interesting. It's probably the most rain I've seen all year, but there was not much snow in the ditches or in the fields, so, you know, maybe that rain kind of, I don't think the soil temperature is that cold. I don't think it's significantly solidly frozen yet, so maybe we see some infiltration there. And then over in Wilkie, we seen, you know, a decent amount of snow, not a crazy amount. Up at my farm, that's by far the most snow I've seen out by Spearwood, but it is definitely highly variable. So hopefully, you know, we can get more snow.
Haley Tetro is the Sask Wheat Agronomy Specialist. She spoke yesterday following a meeting in Saskatoon. It's time now for the Commodities Update, and that's a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Bridge City Realty Agent.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures are trading up across the board this afternoon. January canola trading at $10.15.80. That's up $21.50. March canola trading at $984 per metric ton, up $16.70. March Minneapolis wheat trading at $10.43.50, up 23¾¢. March Kansas City wheat trading at $8.45¾, up 26½¢. March Chicago wheat trading at $8.18 per bushel, up 27½¢. March corn trading at $5.78¾, up 7¼¢. January soybeans trading at $12.45¼, up 17¢. March oats trading at $7.27¼, up 24¢. And that's the commodities update. Now let's check in once again with Danny Ismond.
And we're at Yorkton Hyundai today. That is 115 pounds.
Farm Bulletin Board. A note that the RM of Invermay, number 305, has implemented the Stray Animals Act as of November 30th. A tan cow with a white mark on her forehead, four white legs, and with the bottom half of her tail white, has been impounded within the RM. If you think this cow is yours, please contact the RM office at 306-593-2152. That phone number once again, 306-593-2152. Office hours are Monday through Thursday from 8:30 in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's time for your agriculture weather, and that's a presentation of Yorkton Ag and Auto Supply. The GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Cloudy with a 40% chance of late day flurries. Winds east-southeast at 10 to 20, a high of minus 2 degrees. For tonight, cloudy with a 60% chance of light snow, 2 centimeters possible. Winds west-northwest at 20 to 40, and a low of minus 5. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud, winds west-northwest at 20 to 40, the temperature falling to minus 9. For Saturday, partly sunny with a 30% chance of late day flurries, winds northeast at 10 to 20, and a high of minus 8. For Sunday, cloudy with a 60% chance of flurries, a high of minus 7. Monday, sunny, a high of minus 22. In the Paw, it's minus 14 degrees, Swan River minus 10, Dauphin minus 8, Brandon and Roblin minus 5, Show Lake Russell minus 4. Regina is at 0, Saskatoon and Indian Head minus 1, Hudson Bay minus 9, Broadview Mooseman minus 2, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington minus 6. The Yorkton Melville region has a cloudy sky, an east-southeast wind at 5 kilometers an hour. 83% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 4 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 7 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.